today, our title of our sermon will be The Three Hinges of Prayer. So a couple years ago, I know when Steve Bruns and I first started coming to this church, almost every door in the church squeaked. I don't know where Steve is right now. I'm sure he's here somewhere. It was awful. Like, as soon as you open the door, like, right? So we spent 2 or 3 hours one night taking all the doors off, all the hinges off, making sure they were lubricated, put back together, and then the doors work correctly and without making a lot of noise. I hadn't had a whole lot of experience with door hinges before that, except for maybe moving a door off so I could move some furniture in. But today we're going to be talking about the three hinges of effective prayer. What things do I need to have in order for God to hear me and for God's will to be done as I pray? But before we get into that, let me ask you a question. If you could ask our Lord Jesus one thing, if he could use his authority and his power in your life to do one thing, what would it be? Well, if you're a preacher, maybe it would be to present better sermons. Or if you're a businessman, you might ask to be successful in your business. Or if you're a parent, you would ask to be able to raise your kids in the correct way to honor the Lord and to be obedient. If you're a spouse, you might pray to love your spouse better. Well, the disciples had this opportunity with the Lord. In Matthew chapter 6, they asked the Lord one question. They had his ear. Do you remember what they asked him? Lord, teach us to pray. Now, it wasn't that they didn't know how to pray. They weren't asking necessarily for a method. They were asking, I believe, for the same results. Lord, we see you praying. We see that you heal the sick and you raise the dead and you cause the blind to see and the mute to talk and all these things. We don't have that in our prayers. When we pray, those things don't happen. So teach us how to do that, is what I think he's really saying here. So I think as Christians, many of us want to have that kind of prayer life. We want to do more than just pray for 5 or 10 minutes, check it off of our list to move on. We want our prayers to be heard and to be answered with the power and the presence of God in our life. So how can we do that? I'm glad you asked. Three things that we can do, and we're going to talk about those this morning. Church, do you think that we're a praying church? Well, we pray on Wednesday night. Does that make us a praying church? We pray several times on Sunday morning. Does that make us a praying church? I think the answer to that question lies in the membership. Does the membership pray? Do they seek God's face regularly? Do they pray like spiritual breathing? I don't know about you, but I can't hold my breath very long. I remember when the kids were little, we used to have contests in the pool, see who could hold your breath the longest. And I was always shocked it wasn't as long as I thought it should be. Christian, if our prayer was like spiritual breathing, what would we look like spiritually? Would we be blue in the face? Would we have passed out? Or do we have that constant communion with the Lord? Let's go to our text this morning, Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 7 through 11 together. Now this, again, is in response to Matthew chapter 6. He gave them the Lord's Prayer. This is the model. And in chapter 7, I believe here he's elaborating on what he has said. Starting in verse 7, it says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to them, to those who ask him?" I bet if we polled the congregation today and asked how many would like to have more passion in our prayer, I bet the majority of us would raise our hand. If we ask how many of us want to make sure that we have God's full attention when we pray? I think all of us would raise our hand. And if we ask, do you want to be sure that you have God's authority and power in answer to your prayers? I think we would all raise our hands. Now, the disciples here are, again, asking Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us to have very similar results to you do. We've prayed before. We know what that's like. But I've not seen anyone pray like this. Do you remember what the disciples said of Jesus? What kind of man is this that the winds and the waves and the storms obey him? Who is this? Who prays like that? Don't we want that kind of prayer in our life? That when we pray, we know God hears us, he answers us, and his power and authority is in our life. That's the good kind of prayer I want in my life. So we're going to look at three hinges today. And we're going to find those in verse 7. We see ask and seek and knock. Those are the three things that we need to do in order to have our prayers answered in accordance to God's will. The first one is ask. Having that desire to, that burning desire that you want to bring before the Lord. The second thing that we do is we seek, and then it shows that we are seeking God's direction. God, I don't know what to do. I need your direction. And then lastly, we need to knock. And that knocking shows determination. Have you ever had somebody knock on your door and it annoys you? That's always me, just so you know. So I don't, if I come to the door angry, it's not you. I just don't like this. I hate that. But that shows determination. How are we supposed to pray? We are supposed to pray with determination. So let's go through these quickly. I came across this quote. This is an Adrian Rogers quote I wanted to share with you. It says, prayerlessness is not just a missed opportunity. It is a sin. We are commanded to pray. We're not just missing out if we are not praying. We are sinning against God who desires to have a relationship with us. These are three small words. But much like a door swings on three small hinges, I believe that Jesus is teaching his disciples and us that the door of powerful prayer swings on these hinges as well. So why should we ask God to give us what he already wants to give us? Why should we tell God things that he already knows? Now, if we back up to Matthew chapter 6, and we won't flip there, but Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 says, as he's teaching the Lord prayer, but when you pray, pray like this. So Jesus is assuming that his disciples and his followers are already praying. If you are a believer today, you're a follower of Christ, the assumption should be that I am already praying, that it is a command. But Jesus is now going to teach them not necessarily the way that they've always prayed. He's going to give them the key to dynamic prayer. So when you and I pray, we don't pray to impress God. The Bible says that we don't pray with many words and flowery words. I once went to a church not too long ago, and we would have prayer meetings at that church. The men would go downstairs and we would have prayer meetings before Sunday school class. And sometimes those meetings would last 2 hours. Now, that is not a good thing. I'm going to tell you why. Many of those prayers did not go past the ceiling. Do you know why I know that? Because the actions of those men did not match up to their prayers. So it doesn't matter the amount of words that we pray or the big words that we use. Jesus is not going to be impressed by our prayers. He doesn't need to be informed of what we're going through. He knows. He's omniscient. He's everywhere. We don't need to instruct God what to do because he is God. He'll listen to our thoughts, but he doesn't need them. So why do we pray? What is the purpose of prayer? The purpose of prayer is not intended to bend God's will to my will. That's how I like to pray sometimes. I need to convince God. I heard somebody groan. I know who it was. If I make a good enough argument, God's going to be impressed. No. We are not trying to pray to bend God's will to my will. Prayer is finding the will of God, accepting the will of God, and then joining Him in God's purposes. So, three hinges. I'm going to skip a couple slides here because I got way ahead of myself. Three hinges. The first hinge is the hinge of desire. What does that mean? I am telling God what I would like. Do you know He already knows that? He knows that for a long time I wanted the Dodge Ram truck. Now that wasn't a spiritual request at all. That was just a want. Dad, this is what I would like. Is it okay to pray those prayers? Absolutely. God knows those desires already, but He wants to share those desires with Him, the big ones and the little ones. Can you think of anything that is too big for God to do? I can't. I think Jeremiah says differently. Is there anything too hard for me? And the answer is nothing. Nothing is too hard for me. The Bible says that He knows us intimately. He knows the number of the hairs of our head. And the Bible says that as a believer, we have the right and we have the privilege to pray to God. It'd be one thing for me to come to you and ask you for $5, and I bet most of you would have $5 to give me if I asked for it. But I can go to prayer and to the God who can supply all my needs. Do you remember the rest of that verse? According to His riches. If I ask Steve Bruns for $10,000 today, don't know his bank account, right? According to his riches, I'm out of it. But according to God's riches, I can ask for anything. What if God doesn't want me to have what I want? Do you ever do that? What if I pray and God doesn't want me to have what I want? I think we still tell God about it. Have you ever felt the Holy Spirit fix you mid-prayer? Like as soon as it came out of your mouth or as soon as it came into your mind, you're like, oh, I should not have prayed that. Now, what if we pray about sinful things? God, your word says no, but I want this. You think God could handle that? Sure He could. God, your word says that I should not be anxious, but I know the week I have coming up, and I'm pretty anxious, so I really want to go to anxiety. Would you let me go there? We could go through all the sins. We're not going to go there, but think about that for a moment. So what if I desire something that God doesn't want me to have? If my want is wrong, I should ask God to fix my wanter. Change my heart. Change the desires of my heart. Now, but still, bring your desires to the Lord. And many times, mid-prayer, as you're reading the Word and you're praying, the Holy Spirit, in that still small voice, in accordance to God's Word, will often fix it mid-prayer. But bring it to God. Now, Satan cannot keep God from answering your prayers, but he can keep you from praying. Don't be discouraged. We tell our friends everything, right? We tell our spouses everything. We tell our best friends things. We should be telling all that and more to God because He knows it anyway. He wants us to want Him as much as He wants us. Now, you and I have a command and the responsibility to ask. So I told you we're going to talk about three words, but I'm going to give you three more words. And I know you're bright enough to do six words today. When we pray, we're going to get three answers, and we probably already know these, right? Sometimes, yes, no, and wait. I'm going to regurgitate them to you in a little, slightly different direction. Sometimes the answer that we get is direct. And that means a yes or no, and we know it, right? Let's say I pray for, God, I want to wallow in anxiety this week. That's my desire. Let me do it. Well, if I read his word, I have a direct answer. The answer is no, right? So then I move forward. Sometimes the answer is yes or no, but the answer is direct. Sometimes we pray and the answer is different. That means we ask and God gives us something different than we asked for. And when he does it, it's always better, is it not? I know I've told you this before. I have prayed many times for many things, and I think a handful or less of times God has answered me yes exactly the way I prayed it. Maybe you're a better prayer than I am. Maybe you're more spiritual than I am. But I'll tell you, more often than not, the answer is no or it's something better. God, I want this, and he says no. And I wait, and he gives me something better. So the answer is direct, the answer could be different, and then the answer could be delayed. We ask God, and God wants us to give us something, but he is making us wait. So I remember a prayer. Again, this is not a spiritual prayer. I remember a prayer I prayed many years ago in Alabama. I had taken a week off work, and Heidi and the boys and I drove down to Alabama, and Heidi's dad and her brother were taking me hunting. I'd only been hunting once before. That time I shot at a deer, but I made a fatal flaw. My eyes were closed when I pulled the trigger. So that did not work out well. Now, I still opened my eyes and expected to see a dead deer, but that didn't work out. So this time I went and I sat in a deer stand for a week. That means getting up early before the sun comes out, staying late until the sun goes down. It's a very long day. And for 5 days, I sat in that deer stand and I saw every animal that the Lord created except for a deer. And then on day five, and there was like a minute or two left of what we call shooting light. And what that really means is legal time to shoot a deer. And I prayed. I said, God, first of all, thank you for allowing me to come and be here for a week away from work, for paying me, for letting me sit in your creation, for allowing me to see every animal that you created, with the exception of a deer. But Lord, I know this is not a spiritual request. Would you allow me, please, to harvest a deer? And within like 1 or 2 minutes, a little deer walks out. Now, I don't know if many of you know the South or Alabama at all. The deer here are big. I mean, a doe is almost always over 100, always 100 pounds, and a buck could be up there. Well, in Alabama, they're like big dogs. So I prayed, the deer comes out, it looks at me, I pull the trigger, and all I see after I pull the trigger is white. And what happened, the round was so powerful, it flipped the deer over, and I saw the underbelly. I'm like, oh no, I shot somebody's dog. I didn't. Just so you know, don't hate me, I didn't. It was just a small deer. Was that a spiritual prayer request? No. It was something I wanted. I know that God could provide it for me if he wanted to. And I prayed. Nothing wrong with that prayer whatsoever. God did it, I think, just to prove that, look what I can do. God loves to do that, I believe. Not only in the big spiritual things like, Lord, keep me free from anxiety. Lord, keep me free from temptation. Keep me free from sin. But also sometimes in the small things, because he wants that relationship with us. So the first hinge to effective prayer is the hinge of desire, that we are willing to ask God. God's not going to answer a prayer that we never pray. Why is that? Because he wants dependence. He wants us to know that he loves us, that he is in control. If he just gave us all of our needs before we ever needed them, before we ever expressed them, I don't think we'd be dependent on God. So the second hinge of prayer is the hinge of direction or seeking God. There are times that we ask, but we don't receive. So what do we do then? God, I prayed, I poured my heart out to you. I told you I wanted to be, I wanted this in my life. And it might be a good thing. Maybe I want a child, I want a husband, I want a wife, I want a good job, I want a nice home, I want a whatever. And God, for whatever reason, says, maybe no. Then what do we do, Christian? Then we seek for God's direction in our life. If the answer is no, there's got to be a good reason, right? James 1 says God is the giver of good gifts. If he says no, he's got something better in mind for us. So, okay, God, you said no. Take a deep breath. Understand it. And now, okay, God, now if this is no, then direct me what is yes. Give me direction. Why didn't God give me what I asked for? Well, James chapter 4 says sometimes we don't have because what? We don't ask. Point one, sometimes we don't have because we ask with the wrong motives to fulfill on our own passions. There are many times when I prayed for a Dodge Ram and I did not get it. Why? Because I wanted it. I want it because I would finally be cool. Now, I have it. As you know, I'm still not cool. We need to seek God's direction. God is too good to give us something that is wrong for us. Parents, your kids ask you for a lot of things. Maybe it's ice cream for breakfast. Maybe it's a 10 o'clock, a later bedtime. Maybe it's to wear shorts outside to play in the snow. And many times we tell them no because we know what is best for them. The Bible says if we then, being evil, give good gifts to our kids, our children, why would not God, the giver of good gifts, give good things to us? Now it reminds me of the Apostle Paul. I remember the Apostle Paul had something in his life that he asked God to remove. You remember that? My slides are all messed up. Here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read together. And catch the first part of the verse too. So to keep me from being conceited of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh. A messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. So he knows why this is happening. Interesting. Verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But then God answered. God said no. And how did Paul respond? But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So Paul now seeking direction from the Lord. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So God gave Paul an answer, but was not the answer that Paul wanted. Paul wanted this thing to be removed from him. So God redirected Paul. He gave him a direction. So God said, in essence, Paul, I've got a better plan for you. I am not going to do what you've asked me to do. I've got something better. I'm going to give you my grace and my strength. Sounds like a great trade to me. And if it doesn't, we got some other evaluating to do. If I knew when God says no, that I would get his strength and his grace in my life, why wouldn't I want that? What are you praying for right now? I'm sure we're all praying for something. They might be non-spiritual things. They might be very spiritual things. Maybe we're praying for someone to be saved. Maybe we're praying for a health of a loved one. Maybe we're praying for a strength to fight temptation towards sin. God wants to hear us. He wants to answer us. And when he does say no on certain things, he is redirecting us to something better. And that something better is always God's glory and always for our good. I believe that we can pray for something with a sincere heart. We can pray believing that God will be glorified in answering our prayer, but God may not answer the prayer in the way that we want it. But I will say he will always be glorified and will always be for our good. So the last thing, last hinge, we're going to be done early. Doesn't happen very often. Last hinge. So we have the hinge of desire. We have the hinge of direction. And now the hinge of determination. When we pray, we remember these three hinges: desire, direction, and lastly, determination. We are told to knock. And then in Luke chapter 18, Jesus reminds his disciples to pray and to not give up, to not lose heart. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And we probably have heard this many times, but we're going to go over it again, because Jesus is saying this is how we ought to pray. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and to not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge said or says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" So let's think about this parable quickly. In Luke chapter 18, there's a few things that we need to understand that are different than our culture today. The first one is, we had this widow woman. An Eastern court looks very different than our court does today. We go to Boone County Courthouse, you're going to see a nice building with nice furnishings and a judge and a big robe, and it'll all be very official. Back in this time, though, there was a tent that they met in, and this tent went from city to city or province to province, and it was like a circuit judge. Now, the judge set the agenda of what was heard that day. Now, here we have a process that the judge kind of follows the process. Whatever comes to him, he has to make a judgment on. But in that day, the judge decided who he was going to hear and who he wasn't going to hear. And usually, this meant being able to bribe someone in the judge's corner, either the judge himself or someone that worked for the judge. Now, the woman here had three obstacles to overcome. She had a complaint. She had a grievance. The first thing is she was a woman, unfortunately. In that society, a woman had little standing, and this woman was also a widow. So that made her even less. So normally a husband would go and represent the family. Well, this woman was also a widow, and she also had little money. She didn't have the money that if she wanted to bribe the judge, she could. So what did she do? What was her only course of action? Bothering the judge. Knocking. Persistence. That is what Jesus is saying that we should be like when we pray. Now, we are not praying to an unrighteous judge. We are praying to a God who wants to hear from us, especially when our prayers and his will align together. How do we know that we're always going to get a yes when we pray? When we pray scripture. When we find out what God wants us to do, what he wants us to be, how he wants us to think, and when we pray those, we don't have to ask. We don't have to wait. The answer will always be yes. It will always be direct. But this woman was pleading to this unjust judge who did not fear God. He was not a righteous man. And because she would not stop bothering him, he finally relented. Now, do you think God is bothered by our prayers? He is not. But he does want to see persistence. He does want to see faith that I believe, God, I have this problem. You are the only answer that I have. And I'm not going to stop asking until you show me an answer or give me a different direction. What a great prayer. So we are to pray without losing heart. Some of us have prayed for many years for something to happen. Don't stop. Keep showing that faith in God, that he can do what he says he will do. Has anybody ever fainted in here? I fainted once, but I intended to faint. I know it sounds bad. In college, yeah, everything bad happens in college, right? Every stupid action happens in college. Now, at least when I was Christian, so it wasn't too stupid. But we learned how we could make each other pass out. I'm not going to explain it to you, just in case, parents, you can take a deep breath. We found out how to make each other pass out, so, hey, do that to me. Sure enough, I didn't even know I was out. I knew things were going dim, and then he was like, wake up, wake up. It's a very weird feeling to faint, to not be in control. And that's what the Bible says when we stop praying. If we are not to faint, we are not to lose heart, we have an avenue to God to pray, so we're never going to have that powerless feeling like no one's in control. So when we pray, we are praying to a God who can answer. Amen? I pray, I hope, that our prayer time is effective, that we are continually developing that prayer time so we have communion with God on a moment-to-moment basis, that we know that he is the only way forward. In closing, church, are we a praying church? I'm not sure I'm the one to answer that. I think each member has to say, am I a praying member? If we are a body of believers that are made up of praying members of this church, I would say, yes, Cornerstone is a praying church. But even if we are, we're never going to reach the summit. We're never going to reach the point where we can back off now. We can slow down. What would our church look like if we truly believed in the power of prayer? And not just your pastor, not just your deacon or your trustee or a Sunday school teacher, but even a 7 or 8-year-old who believed in the power of prayer and that God wants to hear from us, and parents who are teaching their kids to pray, and that God answers prayers and how he answers prayers. That's my desire for our church, that we would be a praying church. Let's close. Dear Lord, we love you. I thank you that you're a God who desires to have a relationship with us, who desires to hear us and to answer our prayers. And even when they are unanswered in accordance to our will, Lord, there is always direction given. Lord, I pray that you will continue to guide and direct us, Lord, as we seek your face. And Lord, if your Holy Spirit has spoken to our hearts this morning about the need for prayer in our life, Lord, the great need of effective prayer in our life, for persistent prayer in our life, I pray, Lord, that you would move us to action. I ask all these things in your name. Amen.